Talk Radio. The Germans are coming. World Soccer Talk Radio coming to you live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Looks like Jurgen Klopp is indeed coming to Liverpool. Sepp Blatter and Michel Platini have both been suspended for 90 days at FIFA, but we're talking all about the CONCACAF Cup today. Everybody is descending on Los Angeles. I love it. It feels like one of those old rock and roll festivals, like the old Woodstock documentary, as all the bands are showing up. Every top journalist, every broadcaster, all the network trucks, anybody that means anything in relation to USA or Mexico is descending on Los Angeles right now. And of course, the two biggest bands at this concert would be the U.S. men's national team and El Tricolor. And Mexico are arriving in Los Angeles tonight and talking all about the Mexican national team. We've got two of ESPN FC's finest on the show today, Cesar Hernandez and Tom Marshall. We'll be talking all about the party-like feel going on here in Southern California, the complexities of this rivalry, the history of this rivalry, and we'll snap right back in to the present moment. And I want to talk about the key matchups with Cesar and with Tom, the key matchups in this game, potential weaknesses on the Mexican side. You might remember back on Tuesday, we had Jeff Carlisle, and we talked about potential weaknesses and openings on the U.S. side. Let's see what Cesar and Tom have to say about Mexico and how strong they are coming into this thing. And we'll talk about the potential legacy of Tuca Ferretti. That's right. He knows it's his last game in charge, his last of only three games in charge as the manager of the Mexican national team. And if he wins this thing, and then Juan Carlos Osorio, who's already been hired, takes over and does his thing, think about the legacy of Tuca Ferretti, of that one game, that feel for the rest of his life of, oh yeah, that one game out of three, last one I coached for Mexico, not bad, beat the U.S. in the Rose Bowl. It is a great time down here in Southern California. Again, coming to you live from the Small House Studios in Hollywood. Everybody having a good time out at U.S. practice the last couple days out in Anteater Country in Irvine. We'll be heading to Pasadena tomorrow, checking out the Rose Bowl the day before the match. And tonight, heading out to Santa Monica for dinner at Robin Burt's house. And rumor has it that Nick Webster's showing up. That's right. Fans of last year's World Soccer Talk Premier League podcast, we're getting the band back together. We'll see what happens. Could be rough. CONCACAF Cup is what we're talking all about on the other side of this break. Cesar Hernandez with us. Stay tuned.
See the world's best matches live wherever you are with Fox Soccer to Go. Watch select live matches on your smartphone, on your tablet, and on your computer. Get the app, get the games, and get your fix. Live soccer and more. Anytime, anywhere.
Sign up to watch the Bundesliga and Champions League at soccerondish.com.
Hey, I have rhythm. I love to dance, and I've been told that I dance pretty well. But I'm also totally blind, which means that sometimes my circadian rhythms can get totally out of step with the world around me. Circadian rhythms are regulated by our internal master body clock. But because I can't perceive light, my body clock simply doesn't know what time it is. This can have me wide awake in the middle of the night and fighting to stay awake during the day. That can affect relationships and make it difficult to be productive at work. And it can make every day a real challenge. It's not my imagination. It's called Non-24, and it affects up to 70% of people who are totally blind. So if you're like me, you're not alone, and there is hope. Call 855-856-2424 today or visit learnmorenon24.com to find out more about Non-24. Because learning more about Non-24 is the first step to getting your rhythm back.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
GEICO applauds your inner park ranger.
Mother Nature appreciates the part of you that knows the difference between the red-bellied and the three-toed woodpecker. GEICO also has specialized agents who admire your gusto for the great outdoors. Agents who help with more than just car insurance. These GEICO agents can insure the RV that will take you and the whole family cross-country. The RV that makes National Forest synonymous with Happy Place. So what are you waiting for? 180 types of woodpeckers are ready to be identified.
GEICO for your RV. See how much you could save.
If you're a soccer fan and you want to cut the cord and watch more of the beautiful game, NGSN may be the online streaming service you're looking for. FreeSoccerTrial.com. With NGSN, you get live, legal, and on-demand access to matches from the Eredivisie, J-League from Japan, K-League from Korea, Argentina's Primera Division, Portugal, Ecuador, Russian Premier League, as well as leagues from Bolivia, Venezuela, and more. The games are in HD, and commentaries are available in your choice of English or Spanish. And this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the US. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 30-day trial to NGSN. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
You're listening to World Soccer Talk Radio with your host, Nada Barea, on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
World Soccer Talk Radio back here with you. My name is Nada Barea. Pleasure and a privilege to be with you. Thanks for making this show a part of your daily plans. However, you may be listening on the Sports Byline Network of affiliates or via podcast form, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and worldsoccertalk.com, talking all about the CONCACAF Cup. And it is a pleasure to welcome in now of ESPN SC, Cesar Hernandez. Cesar, thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
Of course. Doing well. Prepared for the match mentally, but, you know, still got to get ready for the flight. I have yet to even pack. That's something I have to get on today for my early flight tomorrow morning.
Well, dude, I talked about this in the opening. It's like a big party right now that everybody over the last like 3 days is slowly but surely descending on Los Angeles. And tonight I compared it to like a big rock and roll festival where there's two really important bands at this festival. It's the U.S. team and it's the Mexico team, and Mexico showing up tonight, and a lot of Mexican press coming as well tonight and tomorrow morning. But talk about that. You haven't gotten here yet, but I know you're buzzing for this trip. It's got kind of a party feel right now here in Southern California as everybody's coming in for this thing.
Almost definitely. But now I'm just kind of thinking about Rafael Marquez and Michael Bradley, you know, and some sort of band, rock band, and I'm a little confused. But but yeah, no, just really excited.
What kind of music? If Rafael Marquez and Michael Bradley were in the same band, what are we thinking?
I don't know. I feel like they would do, like, classic rock covers just because, you know, I think Rafa's kind of an older guy. I could see Rafa, you know, he had a little bit of longer hair back in the day. Not, like, old rocker status, but he definitely had a little bit of longer hair. So I could see him being in, like, an old cover, like, you know, rock band.
Like a 70s cover band featuring Rafa Marquez. And then, like, the more punk variety, we'll have Bradley singing the leads on those with the skinhead look. Hey, so... What are you most excited about in regards to this thing? Because there's so many different storylines coming into this. We could start in a million different places. I want to just throw it right to you. What are you personally most excited about in this edition of this rivalry? Perhaps the most unique USA-Mexico showdown in modern history.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I think the first thing to really bring up is before we even go to the match, it's just, you know, the pregame atmosphere, which is always exciting. I mean, just from a Mexico perspective, you know, it's almost like it's a huge celebration of just Mexican culture. It's a huge celebration of just fans showing up hours early, you know, cooking carne asada, you know, listening to banda, listening to mariachis. And I think that in itself is sometimes, as you mentioned, it's kind of like it feels like, you know, like it's two rock bands. Like it's almost like this huge venue where, you know, it's a huge event in the L.A. area. And I think that is something to actually take into consideration is just, The anticipation of the match is, of course, exciting, but the pregame atmosphere is just as entertaining. Unfortunately, sometimes even more so entertaining than some of the matches that we see between Mexico and the United States. But I think this match, you know, with the stakes being so high with a ticket to the Confederations Cup, I think we will undoubtedly see a stepped-up performance from both sides, not just Mexico, not just the United States, from both sides. So it's going to be very, very intense. It's going to be exciting. I'm genuinely looking forward to it. I'm going to probably be there about 5 or 6 hours early just to really just be like a sponge and absorb all of that excitement about the game.
A journalist by the name of Pablo Morales wrote a great article in The Guardian recently. And within that fantastic article that talked about the complexity, the cultural complexities of this USA-Mexico rivalry, there were a couple of great quotes in that article from a man by the name of Cesar Hernandez. Now, I want to talk to you about this and some of the things that you said in that article in The Guardian.
Almost definitely.
You are born in East LA. You grew up with Chivas and Mexico jerseys all around you. You've also been close to American soccer growing up in California. Personalize this thing, Cesar. What does this rivalry mean to you as a soccer fan and as a human being? Tell me.
I mean, if we're just going past me, like not just being a journalist, but just deep down Mexico soccer fan. I mean, as I mentioned, it's just something I grew up with. I think that's something that a lot of Mexican Americans grow up with, is that, you know, soccer is such a significant and vital part of growing up. It's not just something that's on the side. You know, As I mentioned, I was born and, like, I constantly had, you know, tiny Mexico jerseys, like, constantly donned upon me by my father and my parents. So because of that, you kind of see the U.S. men's national team as kind of as the bad guys, in a way, for lack of a better word of really phrasing it. You know, and especially when I was growing up, you know, as a kid in the 90s, that's when the U.S. really started to amp things up. Before the 90s, USA-Mexico rivalry wasn't really much of a rivalry. It was just, you know, it was just Mexico just winning constantly match after match after match after match. But it was in the early 90s that the U.S. men's national team really started to step up, and they really started, you know, in the generation of Alexi Lalas, those American players, they really started to show that they were forced to be reckoned with. They were not some joke. They were, you know, a true team to compete in the CONCACAF region. And because of that, you know, at that time when I was watching when I was a kid, you know, things really started to heat up and within the match itself. And you can see, you know, there's this great article that Tom Marshall and Jeff Carlisle put out where they interviewed a bunch of, you know, the players from the 90s, from the U.S. and Mexico. And you can truly see that there is this animosity that grew, and that kind of permeated through to the fans as well. And since then, you know, it's just always been a part of my childhood. It's always been a part of my life. So because of that, you know, there's always been this resentment as me as a Mexico fan to the U.S. men's national team. I think we've grown to, of course, respect U.S. men's national team. Of course, they're not some team that, you know, like an easy defeat. You know, we have to recognize that the U.S. men's national team is significantly better. And at times, it's difficult for me to say. I have to recognize when the U.S. men's national team is actually better than the Mexican national team. Go ahead.
Oh, you referenced that oral history from Jeff Carlisle and Tom Marshall. We had Jeff on the show back on Tuesday, and Tom's going to be on later on in this program today. And there was one line in there there's so many great stories told by former players who've been a part of this thing, and especially that period that you talk about in the 90s. But Casey Keller actually said in this article, one of his quotes was that, and I bring it back to this game that we're, you know, anticipating here, which is at the Rose Bowl. And you talk about growing up in Southern California, in East L.A. Casey Keller says, you know, the whole thing about Azteca and the intimidation of Estadio Azteca, he goes, Azteca, nothing compared to playing Mexico in L.A. And the intimidation and the downright nastiness that he would experience playing against Mexico in the L.A. Coliseum or what might be coming in the Rose Bowl on Saturday, or going back even to the 2011 Gold Cup final. Talk a little bit about that and why you think Keller feels that way, that there's actually more of a Mexico home field advantage and intimidation type feel when they're playing in L.A. as opposed to the storied grounds of Estadio Azteca.
Oh, I think I've talked about this before, but I believe it's a cultural thing. You know, when there's a significant, you know, Mexican and Mexican-American population out here in the United States, and especially, you know, as everyone knows, in Southern California. So because of that, when these games happen, especially, you know, when Mexico is playing, plenty of people such as myself, we see that as a huge cultural celebration. We see that as there is nothing that can really compare to that. You know, there are festivals that happen, you know, and there's, you know, in September there's stuff for Independence Day for Mexico, you know, especially in the LA area. But there's nothing that can really compare to a Mexico game. So you'll get tens of thousands of Mexicans, Mexican Americans, you know, this is myself there, celebrating our culture, and it's up against the United States, which is, you know, as I've mentioned, you know, it's the rival. It is the most detested team since the 90s. And through that, too, there's a lot of political things that are underlying through that as well when there's a match between Mexico and the United States. So there's emotions get high. You're at the same time, you're proud of who you are. And for a lot of people, that's one way to really celebrate who you are, where you came from, and it's exhilarating, it's exciting, and because it leads up to this big match, and people just get intensely and unjustifiably intense during these matches and excited.
Hope you're enjoying this out there listening to yours truly, Nate Abarrea and Cesar Hernandez. We're talking about the culture of this USA-Mexico rivalry. We'll talk about the match itself and a little bit more about those political undertones that Cesar speaks of on the other side of this break. It's World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network, USA-Mexico. Let's go.
Board and watch more of the beautiful game. NGSN may be the online streaming service you're looking for. FreeSoccerTrial.com. With NGSN, you get live, legal, and on-demand access to matches from the Eredivisie, J League from Japan, K League from Korea, Argentina's Primera Division, Portugal, Ecuador, Russian Premier League, as well as leagues from Bolivia, Venezuela, and more. The games are in HD, and commentaries are available in your choice of English or Spanish. And this is a completely new and legal way to watch soccer games in the US. Try it, and I think you'll be impressed. All you have to do is go to freesoccertrial.com and sign up today for your free 30-day trial to NGSN. Again, that's freesoccertrial.com. freesoccertrial.com. Cheers.
Geico applauds your inner park ranger.
Mother Nature appreciates the part of you that knows the difference between the red-bellied and the three-toed woodpecker. Geico also has specialized agents who admire your gusto for the great outdoors. Agents who help with more than just car insurance. These Geico agents can insure the RV that will take you and the whole family cross-country. The RV that makes National Forest synonymous with Happy Place. So what are you waiting for? 180 types of woodpeckers are ready to be identified.
Geico for your RV. See how much you could save.
Hey, I have rhythm. I love to dance, and I've been told that I dance pretty well. But I'm also totally blind, which means that sometimes my circadian rhythms can get totally out of step with the world around me. Circadian rhythms are regulated by our internal master body clock. But because I can't perceive light, my body clock simply doesn't know what time it is. This can have me wide awake in the middle of the night and fighting to stay awake during the day. That can affect relationships and make it difficult to be productive at work. And it can make every day a real challenge. It's not my imagination. It's called non-24, and it affects up to 70% of people who are totally blind. So if you're like me, you're not alone, and there is hope. Call 855-856-2424 today, or visit learnmorenon24.com to find out more about non-24. Because learning more about non-24 is the first step to getting your rhythm back.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
See the world's best matches live, wherever you are, with Fox Soccer To Go. Watch select live matches on your smartphone, on your tablet, and on your computer. Get the app, get the games, and get your fix. Live soccer and more. Anytime, anywhere.
Sign up to watch the Bundesliga and Champions League at soccerondish.com.
You're listening to World Soccer Talk Radio with your host, Nate Abarrea, on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Where you from, mate?
Just around.
World Soccer Talk Radio here with you on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. My name is Nate Abarrea, joined by Cesar Hernandez of ESPN FC and Tom Marshall of ESPN FC will be with us a little bit later in the show. All right, we talked all about the culture of this rivalry in the last segment. I want to continue that conversation here in a few minutes, but we got to talk about the match itself. Cesar, I'm going to throw it right to you. I mean, we got to actually head to the Rose Bowl and talk about some soccer on the pitch here. Give me two matchups that you're really looking at in this game. They could be individual, they could be head-to-head, player-on-player, they could be midfield versus midfield, front line against back line, the coaches. Give me the two matchups that you're really focusing on. Here's where a couple of days away from this big game.
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind immediately is Michael Bradley taking on Mexico's midfield. Michael Bradley, he's the captain. He's, you know, to me, he personifies, you know, the U.S. men's national team right now, you know, with his tenacious play in the middle of the field. And he, and you can tell, and, you know, although he is, you see him struggle every now and then, and maybe he isn't the same form that he was when he was in Europe, but when he plays against Mexico, he really steps it up. And you can tell, earlier this week, he posted a photo on Instagram of him, I think it was him, like, in Chicharito. They're up against each other, and they look like, you know, of course they're saying some nasty stuff to each other. And he had just a 2-0 scoreline, you know, the infamous 2-0, that really gets to the core of Mexico fans. So that is, I think that's the big, big matchup right there, is Michael Bradley, you know, this excellent distributor of the ball in the middle of the pitch. And if Mexico wants to find success against the U.S. Women's National Team, they're going to have to shut him down there. They're going to have to find one, maybe perhaps just two central midfielders who are going to have to focus on Michael Bradley in the middle of the pitch.
Cesar, I remember a friendly back in April of 2014. It ended up as a 2-2 draw. U.S. actually had a 2-0 lead, and it was Miguel Herrera was just getting going with Mexico, and it was a great Herrera quote after the game. He said, in that first half, Michael Bradley was the best player on the planet, one of the best performances for 45 minutes that I've ever seen. You go back to 2009 with Michael Bradley, really the game that cemented himself as a G for the USA, cemented himself as a true badass in the U.S. midfield, and that was February of 2009, the 2-0 in Columbus in the Ohio monsoon at Crew Stadium, and he scores both goals in a 2-0 USA fiesta. We've also seen Michael Bradley, when it's not against Mexico, over the last year, just look as far to the opposite end of the spectrum as any of us could even fathom. We've had people on this show who specialize in coverage of the U.S. team who say that Clint Dempsey and Michael Bradley can't play together, that's what's bringing down Michael Bradley. We've heard other reasons why Michael Bradley has regressed in some people's views, but here we go. It's Bradley against Mexico, and you reference that personal history with these head-to-head matchups with Mexico. What's it going to take for us to see that Michael Bradley on Saturday in Pasadena, Cesar?
I mean, luckily for Bradley, Mexico's starting defensive midfielder, Jose Juan Vasquez, he is injured right now, which is going to be a blow to the Mexican national team. Because Vasquez, he was a tenacious, small little guy. You know, he was a small little midfielder, but he was just a tenacious defensive, you know, presence in the midfield for Mexico. And I think he was somewhat of an underrated player in that position. With him injured and gone, you're going to have a player like Jonathan Dos Santos, who is an excellent distributor of the ball. He's a great attacking player, but he's probably going to have to take over. And the problem is he's not nearly as skilled defensively as Vasquez. So with that right there, Bradley's probably extremely excited. I bet the true winner of Vasquez being injured for Mexico is Bradley. Bradley's probably excited, and this opens up a huge opportunity for him to take apart the midfield. That being said, Mexico may want to try to put in a second midfielder. But at this moment, it looks like if Rafael Márquez is healthy for the national team, it looks like Mexico is probably going to play a 5-3-2 formation with Jonathan Dos, you know, the key job to take control of the midfield and take away possession from Michael Bradley.
Gotta love that 5-3-2. It's been played by Mexican national coaches who have nothing to do with one another, guys who are their own individuals and have been club managers and run other systems. What's the deal with the 5-3-2 historically with Mexico, in your view, Cesar?
Well, the thing is, it's Piojo Herrera, the last coach, who really started to push for it. Before that, with Chepo, you would see, you know, Jose Manuel Chepo de la Torre, you would see a little bit more of a 4-4-2, a 4-2-3-1, you know, mostly a four-man back line. But it was Piojo Herrera who brought in that five-man back line, who really pushed for it for Mexico recently. I think the current interim manager, Ricardo Tuca Ferretti, I think he prefers a little bit more of a four-man back line. But with the options available and with Mexico's familiarity with the five-man back line, I think they're going to want to push for that. But that being said, I personally think I might prefer a four-man back line with more of a 4-3-3 and just crash, you know, just go forward and just go full force against the U.S. men's national team. But I highly doubt we'll see that.
I remember Ro rotating even in the Mexican League in the 90s and seeing various big teams, seeing Chivas, off and on, seeing other teams. I've never seen a footballing culture that embraces this particular formation more than Mexico. It's kind of mind-blowing. And if it's used in the right way, I think back to the USA, and there's actually a player on the U.S. side that a lot of people go, oh, well, what's the right way to use him? There's so many different ways that he could be used, and he's regressing in this way. He should advance more this way. And I speak of DeAndre Yedlin. And if DeAndre Yedlin could play in a 5-3-2 formation, I think that's a formation that would fit DeAndre Yedlin oh so well, being able to play as an attacking right back who gets to actually fly up and down the lines. But there is an emphasis on that. There's an emphasis on fullbacks, on guys attacking wing backs and stuff like that. And I've seen it for so long in Mexican culture. And just to wrap up this conversation, am I crazy, or are there other people in the world who embrace the 5-3-2, or is it really kind of a Mexican thing?
No, I've definitely seen it abroad in Europe. I don't think it's really perfectly honest. I don't really see it that much in Mexico. I mean, right now, there aren't very many teams in Liga MX in the domestic league who use a 5-3-2. Most use a four-man back line, and that actually kind of presents a problem for the national team, is that you have players coming in who are comfortable with a four-man back line, but are suddenly having to play this five-man back line. Even, Miguel Layún, who's, justifiably a starter in the Mexican national team and a key component of that five-man back line because he's a left wing back. Right now with Porto, he's playing with a four-man back line. So as of right now, it actually, as I mentioned, I think there's just a Duca is probably going to use it because the national team players are familiar with it. But the problem is right now in Mexican soccer, in Liga MX, you see more of a four-man back line. And I think Mexico may have to adopt a different style. I think right now why they love the 5-3-2 is just because that's where Rafa Márquez excels. He plays like a quarterback back there with his long passes.
Well, and Cesar, one of the points that you made there, it's actually something that we've talked on the show about quite a bit, and it's let's just say the focus on attacking in Liga MX. And we even brought up a comparison to Major League Soccer, and how is this helping the advancement of defenders and the development of defenders, and a Mexican defender playing in Liga MX, this league that it seems like all these teams are designing to just have these insane attacking games that are so beautiful for a neutral eye and so fun to watch. And we've seen that in Major League Soccer actually earlier this season, where people are kind of wondering, man, how are defenders developing in this league? That's a conversation that we could carry on to another show and talk about the development of defenders in USA and in Mexico and in both leagues, at MLS and at Liga MX. We got 2 minutes left here with you, Cesar. I've really enjoyed the time here with you. And you bring up the name Tuca Ferretti. It's his last game in charge. I mean, this is it. It's for all intents and purposes. There's no huge pressure on his shoulders. He gets to really just go in and do it in whatever way that he wants. And he's been humorous in press conferences recently. If he wins this thing, if Mexico win this thing and he's the victorious manager, what's the legacy of Tuca Ferretti going to be, Cesar?
I mean, it's a legacy. I mean, he has one more game on the 13th, technically, against Panama. But you can see this. I mean, this is basically almost like his last match that truly matters, because he just has a short contract just for four games with the national team. I mean, I guess the legacy of Tuca is that he's always been the conversation for being a Mexico manager. He's always been an option. When people think about, with the immense amount of change that has been with the Mexican national team with managers, he's always been the back of people's minds. He's a conservative coach who likes organized football, and sometimes I feel Mexican soccer does mean that. The problem is, according to him, he turned down an offer to have a complete full-time, to actually take control of the national team, not just for an interim position, but leading up to the next World Cup. So what's going to happen, the problem with if Tuca does win this match this Saturday, and then we go over to Juan Carlos Osorio, who's going to be the next Mexican national team coach, if Osorio just has a couple mistakes, people are always going to wonder what could have been if Tuca maintained his role as manager.
It's a great point. It's a lot of pressure on Juan Carlos Osorio as he watches this game from the stands or on TV. I don't know the exact plans for Mr. Osorio, but talk about an awkward position to kind of be watching this massive match featuring the national team that you are now heading and you're not on the sideline for it. It's just got so much funkiness to it. I absolutely love it. Cesar Hernandez of ESPN FC, it's been great having you on the show. Travel safe, and we'll see you at the Rose Bowl on Saturday, bud.
Yeah, see you there. Thanks for having me on.
Again, that was Cesar Hernandez. Check out his work with ESPN FC, another fantastic ESPN FC writer specializing in coverage of the Mexican national team. Will be with us on the other side of this break, Mr. Tom Marshall. Stay tuned. World Soccer Talk Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Hey, I have rhythm. I love to dance, and I've been told that I dance pretty well. But I'm also totally blind, which means that sometimes my circadian rhythms can get totally out of step with the world around me. Circadian rhythms are regulated by our internal master body clock. But because I can't perceive light, my body clock simply doesn't know what time it is. This can have me wide awake in the middle of the night and fighting to stay awake during the day. That can affect relationships and make it difficult to be productive at work. And it can make every day a real challenge. It's not my imagination. It's called non-24, and it affects up to 70% of people who are totally blind. So if you're like me, you're not alone, and there is hope. Call 855-856-2424 today, or visit learnmorenon24.com to find out more about non-24. Because learning more about non-24 is the first step to getting your rhythm back.
Sponsored by Vanda Pharmaceuticals.
Looking to break away this fall? Visit the sun-soaked bayside town of Tiburon, located just minutes from San Francisco. The Lodge at Tiburon is steps from the ferry docks and nestled among Tiburon's upscale boutiques, charming cafes, and unique galleries. Dine at the award-winning Tiburon Tavern, serving innovative dishes prepared with ingredients grown in our very own garden. Fall rates from $199 a night. Join us at the Lodge at Tiburon and create long-lasting memories. For reservations, call 1-877-614-6068 or go to Lodge at Tiburon.com.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895, 800-760-4895. That's 800-760-4895.
Football season is back, and this time around it's all about you, the fan. Thanks to Rebel.tv, now you can call the action for your favorite college and pro teams for free. It's your team, so why not give your fans your call? Just mute your TV and provide your own play-by-play or armchair commentary, or listen to other fans like you who love your team as much as you do. With Rebel.tv, you can create and enjoy sports broadcasts created by fans on your desktop, through your iOS, Android app, or through your mobile browser. So blitz the booth this football season and go to Rebel.tv to schedule a broadcast today.
You're listening to World Soccer Talk Radio with your host, Nate Abarit, on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
World Soccer Talk Radio, back here with you. Sports Byline, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, WorldSoccerTalk.com. Special hello to the men and women listening overseas via the American Forces Network. My name is Nate Abarea. Pleasure and a privilege to be with you on these soccer airwaves that we love so much. And ESPN FC has been oh so kind to us this week. Just had Cesar Hernandez on the line talking all about this USA-Mexico game. Had Jeff Carlisle on the show back on Tuesday. And the ESPN FC kindness continues here in this segment with Tom Marshall joining us. Tom, how you doing? Are you in Los Angeles?
I am there. Yeah, I'm here. I arrived 2 days ago, and excited, really excited about Saturday's game, and can't wait for it to get underway. Really.
Now, Tom, we referenced in the last segment that oral history that you and Jeff Carlisle put together for ESPN FC. And if you out there listening to the show haven't had a chance to check that thing out, get on it right now. If you were around in the 1990s, you're going to read this thing and you're going to start reliving all of these games. Alexi Lalez is going to get kicked in the groin again. There's going to be heartbreak. There's going to be glory. You are going to start reliving these things like you're there again. I enjoyed that article so much. And I want to just ask you, as someone who was a part of creating it, and we talked about this with Jeff the other day, What were your favorite parts of putting this thing together? It seemed like such a fun piece to write.
No, yeah, definitely. I mean, I think just, talking to these, obviously the players, I did the Mexican side, so, I was getting in contact with those guys, and I don't know, just speaking to them, reliving it, and obviously, getting their opinions on the rivalry then and the growth of the rivalry, really, because I think we forget. I mean, everybody's so focused on Saturday's game and US-Mexico, biggest rivalry in CONCACAF. And I think we forget that, before the 90s, it wasn't really a rivalry. It was completely one-sided. And if there was a CONCACAF rivalry, it was Mexico against Costa Rica. So I think we forget that. And we forget that those first 10 years, especially from 90 till, to the first few years of the 90s were absolutely crucial. And it just brings it home that, that especially the U.S. side more than anything, the way the U.S. side gradually, bit by bit, was able to kind of almost like fishing, you're reeling in Mexico, until we get to today where, Mexico hasn't won for the last six games. So I just think just all of it, just the whole history and especially from people who were playing, who was actually, on the field doing it and making that history.
Tom, before we snap back into the present moment and talk about Saturday's game, when you look back on the last 24 years, I like a couple of guys referenced a Gold Cup matchup back in 1991, and some San Jose Earthquakes fans actually posting pictures on Twitter today of Dom Kinnear and John Doyle jumping each other's arms, saying that the day that Dos a Cero was actually created back in 1991, and there were so many great stories on the Mexican side and matches referenced. What were some of your favorites to relive with these players, and ones that you have your own personal memories of? What are your favorite additions of the USA-Mexico rivalry?
Yeah, I think the 91 was absolutely huge. I mean, I think everybody pretty much said that he was around at that time. It was just, that was the time when Mexico kind of sat back and realized, we've got a rival here. We thought we were going to absolutely stroll this game, and obviously Mexico lost. But I think personally, you put that from the Mexican point of view, the 2011 Gold Cup final, and I think that if you ask Mexico fans, that was an unbelievable moment for them in the rivalry, because it is equal these days, and it was the way the United States went 2-0 down, and Dos a Cero again. It was like, it seemed like it was fate that the US would hold on to that 2-0 lead, and it would be another case of Mexico fans going home and suffering. But then, Mexico came back, and obviously the 4-2 victory was amazing, and that Giovanni Dos Santos goal was really the icing on the cake from a Mexican point of view. So I'd say 2011 was a top moment from my point of view.
Tom, we're back at the Rose Bowl on Saturday. Talk about the 2011 Gold Cup final. And Giovanni Dos Santos will not be playing in this game. I think pretty much assured that Gio is going to be out injured. So there will be no Tim Howard flapping desperately at the feet of Giovanni Dos Santos. I can just see that in my mind right now. But back at the scene of that famous day in late June of 2011. Talk about that a little bit and how the Mexican fans are feeling, and I'm sure buying into that type of thing a little bit of, look where we are. I remember this place. All right, let's have it.
Yeah, I think there's a psychological advantage for Mexico playing in the Rose Bowl. I think that, I'm sure the U.S. side aren't very happy with this venue, to be honest. I know it's in the United States, but it's traditionally a real heartland for Mexico fans in the United States. And, I think we're going to see a Mexican majority. I think CONCACAF have really tried to kind of balance it up a little bit by the way they're selling the tickets. but it's going to be a Mexico. Mexico's going to be like the home team. I think it's going to be probably 70-30, maybe 80-20 in favour of Mexico. So it's definitely an advantage to Mexico. Yeah, I think that, you know, Mexico have to go into this game as favourites, considering the way the US have been playing recently, and that last game for Mexico played against Argentina, which was really, I think it was a real boost of confidence to everyone in the Mexico national team setup.
Tom, you talk about the crowd advantage that you're anticipating, that a lot of people are anticipating, obviously, for Saturday at the Rose Bowl. The heat, something that a few people are starting to talk about, especially as all of these journalists, broadcasters, and television networks arrive here in Los Angeles going, 100 degrees on Saturday in Pasadena here in the middle of October. Who do you think the heat favors on Saturday? I don't think it's going to be 100 degrees at kickoff, but it's going to be a scorcher.
No, yeah, I think I don't, to be honest, believe it's going to be a massive advantage for either. I think, you know, both teams have been preparing for a whole week, which is a bit rare for international soccer. I mean, usually you only get a couple of days and then you go straight into the game. Now, the one thing I would say is that Mexico haven't actually arrived yet in the area. They've been training in Mexico City, so they've actually been training at altitude, which obviously for the Mexico-based players won't matter too much. But the ones coming over from Europe, you know, I think that could be a tiny advantage for Mexico. But in general, I'd say it's pretty even. I mean, I don't think the heat's going to affect either too much. Obviously, going into the last 20 minutes of the game, it might be a case of who can hang on. But I think we're going to see a really good game regardless of the weather. I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be intense, and I think it's going to be difficult for either team to kind of control the passions and control the kind of the tactical formations and the outlook on the game that each coach might want. I think it's going to be an emotional occasion.
USA have been practicing in Irvine the last couple of days. Mexico arriving in the Los Angeles area tonight, and then tomorrow is a big day over at the Rose Bowl with everybody doing their press conferences, both teams practicing at the Rose Bowl. So the chaos in Pasadena will really start bubbling tomorrow, and then Saturday, of course, is the pinnacle of it all. And looking forward to Saturday, talking about the match itself here. There's so many different issues on both sides and problems tactically for both teams. And Mexico's coming off a very strong performance against Argentina. But Mexico have also got their own issues. USA have got so many issues in coming off a nasty defeat in Foxborough to Brazil last month. Looking at psychologically where both of these teams are, talk a little bit about the advantages that you see for either side and what you're really looking at as key matchups in the game itself, Tom.
Yeah, I think an advantage for Mexico is that, you know, this new coach coming in, the interim coach, Ricardo Ferretti, I think if you were to sum him up in one word, it would be a pragmatist. And I think what he's done is he's taken Miguel Herrera's system, the 5-3-2, and he's kind of just implemented the same way of playing, really. And we saw that against Argentina. And I think obviously he'll make little tweaks, but I think he's going to stick with that. It's what the players know. It's what the Mexico players played in 2014 at the World Cup. So I think that, you know, that's a positive for Mexico. Now, Gallito Vasquez, Jose Juan Vasquez, the holding midfield player, is out. For me, that's a massive disadvantage. Why? Because Michael Bradley, over the last few games against Mexico, he's just been a thorn in the side, a constant thorn in the side to Mexico. He always seems to, you know, play his A game when it comes to when he's got Mexicans in front of him. So I think that's the absolute key to the game. Can Mexico stop Michael Bradley? I think he's the United States' best player. And, you know, we'll see what plans that Tuca Ferretti has got to deal with him. But, yeah, I think, you know, you look at both teams, and if you ask me my honest opinion, I think player for player, Mexico is stronger. I mean, I honestly think that. I think they've got the better players. But, you know, six games without a win against the United States, Jurgen Klinsmann always finds a way. And I think psychologically, that's massive. It's important, but it's a difficult game to predict. And obviously, it's a rivalry. Anything can happen on the day. And it's going to be who can control those emotions and control that initial urge to just absolutely fly at the opposition. Because, you know what I mean? 93,000 people on Saturday, it's not easy to control yourself under those conditions.
Tom, one of my favorite stats and we talked about this with Jeff Carlisle back on Tuesday. It's such an interesting one and one that surprises so many people, and that is that Clint Dempsey has never scored against Mexico. And then there's a little add-on to this, and that is that Chicharito Hernandez, who scored oh so many goals for Mexico, Chicharito has never scored against the United States. If you had to place money on one of those players to score a goal on Saturday and break their own personal curse against the arch rivals, which player would it be, Tom? Would it be Deuce or would it be Chicharito?
I'm gonna cheat a little bit. I'm gonna say Dempsey because he's definitely gonna start. And what we're hearing from the Mexico camp right now is that Chicharito may not start. We think it's gonna be Chicharito or Raúl Jiménez. So obviously, if Chicharito's not starting, you have to go with Dempsey. But I think Chicharito sometimes against the United States is almost like he's trying too hard. I mean, he's always like so desperate to score a goal, but he almost rushes the chances and stuff. But I'll have to go with Dempsey there.
How are you feeling about that? Who would you start? Would you start Jimenez or would you have Chicharito in there?
I would play both of them. I'd play Chicharito and Jimenez. I mean, what we're hearing is that Oribe Peralta is a definite starter. That Tuca Ferretti absolutely loves him, and it's Peralta and one of Jimenez or Chicharito. So, I mean, it's a strange one because Peralta's not in the best form, and obviously, you know, Chicharito is almost like the standard bearer. He is the guy still in this Mexico team, and if he's on the bench, it's going to be, put it this way, I don't think the fans, if it is a Mexico majority fan base in the Rose Bowl, they won't be happy if Chicharito isn't starting.
So, Tom, I just want to clarify this. You don't think, if it were up to you, if you were in Ferretti's shoes, you'd have Jimenez and Chicharito Hernandez starting this game, and you'd have Uribe coming off the bench.
Yeah, or definitely, I mean, it's really difficult for Mexico up front. I mean, I'd definitely take Chicharito. I think, I don't know, I mean, I can't believe that he's not an automatic starter considering what he's achieved with this team and the type of what he's done in Europe. I think Vela should be the automatic starter, but he's in awful form at the minute for Real Sociedad. He's really not playing well. He also looks slightly overweight. And the other player, and this is what people out there who don't know too much about the Mexican national team, the player to look out for is Tecatito Corona. I think he's going to start on the bench, but for me, he's the next superstar for the Mexican national team.
Tom, can we get a prediction out of you for this game?
Yeah, I'm going to go 2-1 Mexico. I think it might be the day the rivalry turns on its head once again. I'm just excited for it.
Well, we'll see how it goes down. And talk about flipping the rivalry back at the Rose Bowl for the first time since June 25th, 2011, that day that Mexican fans remember oh so fondly, and U.S. fans remember it as the Dos a Cero fiesta for about 25, 30 minutes, and then it all went straight to hell in a handbasket. So we're back at the scene of the 2011 Gold Cup final, the first time that the USA and Mexico have gone toe-to-toe in Pasadena since that famous day. Tom Marshall, how can folks get a hold of you in the wild thing known as the Twitter sphere?
Yes, I'm at Mexico World Cup.
At Mexico World Cup. Send him all of your L3 inclined tweets. And Tom, been following your work on ESPN FC, doing a fantastic job. Love the oral history and definitely be looking out for more stuff on ESPN FC in the coming days. And look forward to seeing you in Pasadena on Saturday, man.
Thanks a lot, Nate, and thanks very much for the invitation. Very enjoyable.
Absolutely. You're welcome back anytime. Again, that was Tom Marshall of ESPN SC. We're back to close this baby out on the other side of this break. It's World Soccer Talk Radio on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. I feel like an alien. It's like I'm on the outside looking in. I don't seem to fit in.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So cancel the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money.
Call 877-499-MYTV.
Right now to sign up for packages starting as low as $24.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $24.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card.
Call 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Cancel the cable, cut costs, and get more.
Call now, 877-499-MYTV. That's 877-499-MYTV.
Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Clapper, Chief of Orthopedic Surgery at Cedars-Sinai Medical Group in Los Angeles, California. Dedicated to your health, your life, and your sports. As a weekend warrior, you know about sports injuries and pain. Exercise is an important element in keeping your body's core in good shape to minimize sports injuries. But when you are in pain, there is one product that I recommend to my patients, and that is Blue Goo Gel. Blue Goo consists of a proprietary formula developed specifically for the treatment of inflammation and general muscle aches and strains. I recommend Blue Goo for my patients coping with hip and knee pain before surgery, especially bursitis and tendonitis. Give Blue Goo a try. Call 1-888-330-0123 and you'll receive a 1-week supply of Blue Goo absolutely free. The makers of Blue Goo are even paying the shipping. The number again is 1-888-330-0123. If you want more information on Blue Goo, visit online at www.dothegoo.com.
Now available at select Big Five stores near you.
Today, investors need to secure and protect their life savings. With government spending out of control, they continue to print money to cover the ever-increasing debt, which decreases the value of the dollar and promotes inflation. American Bullion offers a hassle-free opportunity to transfer any portion of your existing IRA or previous 401k to a gold IRA for your protection. Take advantage of the lower gold prices today and enjoy the long-term security and hedge against inflation that gold and silver can provide in an IRA. Thousands of others have trusted American Bullion to transfer their IRAs into gold, and you can too. Call American Bullion today and discover the stability, protection, and peace of mind that a gold IRA can bring. Call American Bullion today at 800-576-1046 for a free consultation and receive their free IRA rollover guide, which offers the best information on gold IRAs. Keep your life savings safe and sound when you can. Call 800-576-1046. That's 800-576-1046 for your free gold IRA guide.
So everybody's talking about this U.S. goalkeeper situation. Should Tim Howard just waltz back in and get the start against Mexico? Does he have the greatest personal history against Mexico, especially when you think back to that 2011 Gold Cup final in the Rose Bowl? Yeah, Brad Guzan had a pretty crap Gold Cup, and everybody remembers the embarrassment in the Jamaica game and the handball and all that stuff, carrying the thing outside the box. Who's going to start? Guzan, Howard, Guzan, Howard, the pros and cons of Howard or Guzan. I'll tell you who should start for the USA. A man who I saw on an outdoor screen in North Hollywood last night in a beautiful showing, by the way, a victory. Great film from 1981. You know who I'm talking about. U.S. goalkeeper against Mexico on Saturday. Sly Stallone, baby. Get Sylvester in goal for the USA. Stallone will keep the clean sheet. Stallone will get the shutout. USA, Mexico, I want Stallone in goal. Victoire! Victoire! For our fantastic guests today, Cesar Hernandez, Tom Marshall, both of ESPN FC. For the gaffer, Chris Harris. For the producer, Scott Cuddy, back in San Francisco. And the fantastic, beautiful Irishman here at the Small House Studios in Hollywood, California. My name is Nate Avarea. It's going to be a wild one tomorrow. We're coming to you live from the Rose Bowl. Press conferences, USA and Mexico practices, all sorts of wildness over there in Pasadena tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Till then, bye for now.